opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios
where
of
are
KCNR.
We?
Yeah. KCNR 96, let me finish here, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Carl and Linda Bott, phone lines here 605-4567. And we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Jared's in there. Hiya, Jared. And
good morning.
And then Linda Bott.
Hey, good morning. Did you say it was the 5th of March? Oh, my gosh.
The 5th of March. And it's 7:05 in the morning.
Unbelievable how we have time going by. Well, here's a little bit of our National Weather Service update. Chance of showers with a high of 65 and overnight lows of 41. Saturday, chance of showers and mostly sunny with a high of 57 and overnight lows of 39. Sunday calls for partly sunny with a high of 61 and Sunday night 39. Monday, showers likely with a high of 56 and Monday night showers and Tuesday showers. So there's your March, April showers. I love how our flowers are starting to sprout, but, you know, we've got a couple of these up and down seasons where it's sunny and warm. But anyway, that is just a weather forecast for the next 5 days. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, which is locally owned out of Anderson, where they do give veteran, it's a veteran-owned company, veteran and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. And now we turn to Jim, who is from Haven Humane. Excuse me, Heavenly Animals at Haven Humane. And Jim, you know, we love to share with our listeners that we partner with you because we really believe in what it is to have a well-run, you know, rescue. You guys do such a great job. So you always come on and talk about our pet of the week. Who do we have today?
Well, this week I brought Honey. She is sweet as, and she is a six-year-old red-nosed pit bull, just the most adorable little thing you've ever met.
Okay.
Oh, yeah? Is she stocky, or is she what?
She's a little stocky, but, you know, on the slim side for a pit bull. But she does have that, you know, that broad chest that you get in a pit bull. She so far has done great with other dogs here, has done fine with all the people she's met, loves chasing a ball around, just a really good all-around girl.
Oh, good. And she's, what did you say, 6 years?
Yeah, about 6 years old, so she's actually just bumped into what we consider the senior category. So, we have a fund called the Pals Fund that covers half of her adoption fee, so she's actually only $37 to adopt.
Oh, that's wonderful. Ready today?
She is, let me see here. I should have looked at that before I
dialed
the number, huh?
Got it.
She still does need to get spayed before she goes home, so she'll be if she gets adopted, she'll just spend the night with us while she gets that done.
And that's wonderful. And that's part of the $37, right?
Yep, it's all included in the adoption fee. You've got your the surgery, microchip, all the vaccinations she needs, everything.
Well, now you're about ready to come back in since we've had restrictions lifted.
Well, we're getting there. I'm still waiting on vaccines and things before I start going out and doing that stuff. But but I'm looking forward to getting back out there.
Yeah, we miss seeing the
fur babies you bring.
For sure. I know, it's always a good time driving around in the car, getting to know them a little better. So, I'm looking forward to getting back out in the community again.
All right, anything else?
You know, we have our Doggy Dash coming up. It's all virtual still this year. But March 16th through the 20th, it's going to be you and your dog going out for a 5 or 10K walk and sending us fun pictures. You can get more information and register at our website, havenhumane.org.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Jim.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
And good luck, honey.
I'll tell you.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Talk to you later.
You bet. Now,
Do you want to talk about last night?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay, so the Lassen Park
Foundation
did every year.
A fundraiser.
We've attended.
Yeah.
But however, last year, for some reason, I'm not sure, health reasons, whatever, we didn't, but it was virtual. and they have a...
Well, it's because of COVID.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we still, they had party people within homes that did personal things, but they did a, I'm sorry, that's what I meant, in that they have like a whiskey tasting that they auction off.
Yes, they did. And we had it last night at C.R. Gibbs. And our host there were absolutely fabulous. We had little tasters, kind of five different, like an hors d'oeuvre. Not pairing with it, but just these. And they were, of course, just very, very excellent, the taste. And then we had a presentation on each one of the five whiskeys or scotch or rye or bourbons that we tried. So it was a total of five different types of spirits.
And who selected those? Was it the C.R. Gibbs?
I believe it was.
Okay.
And then Jennifer from the Lassen Park Foundation.
Who is just charming and wonderful.
Was the hostess and just did a wonderful job, of course. After everybody had a nice time, there was no raucous behavior because it's not a lot to drink. I mean
you have tastes.
I mean, yeah, it's just tasting.
It's almost like you have a flight.
That's exactly what it is. Their flight.
Well, I was doing the show here. I'll tell my side. I was doing my show here, and I had some wonderful people on with the KIXE and the Shasta Library Foundation coming together for an event. And so they were on the first half hour, and the second half hour would have been Sandra Jennings, our astrologer, who's going to start. You know, I just find this whole planetary alignment thing and people's actions and feelings and everything, how that's kind of coinciding. So anyway, Sandra and I were talking after the show. And at 7:45, because the show's over at 7, I went, whoa, what happened to time? I'm on my way home, and Carl goes, I'm bringing over eight guys. We're coming home.
That's not what I said.
Yeah, you did.
What I said was, do you mind if I bring some people over? Yes,
you
I
announced,
did.
But she's okay.
No,
it's
know
your
what?
House, too.
Anyway. So afterwards, we had a number of people came over to the house. I know eight or nine people, where we sampled more. And
he pulled out every single thing you had.
Everybody, and we tried it all.
And cigars on the bed. So Chestnut Street, yeah, that's what you were hearing last night.
Right. There may be. I didn't see any cars on the street this morning, sure.
Good time was had by all. I think there might have been.
I just wanted
to
know who can drive. You know this. You know what.
Heard a few bangs and a few breaks, but.
Well, needless to say that once the last time I imbibed of like this was in 1976. I can almost tell you the exact day. In fact, it was in February of 1976. And so I figure every 46 years, every 45 years, I can... have more than two drinks.
I learned
a lot. My next one will be in 2068.
I'm just amazed at how you can bounce back from that kind of stuff. But, whoa, I had to hang his coat outside, folks, and wash his clothes right away.
Oh, because of the cigars.
Yeah. I learned a lot about Shasta Lassen and the foundation and some of the plans that they have to fix things up right there at the entrance of the park. And I love it when people are super passionate about what they do. And Rick Hill was there with Sandra, and they're very involved with Rotary. And I didn't know she played piano, and he plays guitar.
Jennifer.
I know that.
Jennifer.
So they play in the beginning. Yes, Jennifer. From Shasta Lassen Foundation.
Right.
And so, again, she was the hostess. So it was two women and eight men. I mean,
another woman was there, too?
I was there.
There were two women there?
Me and Jennifer.
Oh, you. Okay.
Yeah.
Because if you had told me there was another woman there, I'd think, man, you must have come in later because I don't remember that. But then again...
Anyway, it's a wonderful, just Lassen Park and the jewel of the North State of what we've got here. It's amazing.
It is. And I like to say my wife is an angel. She is an angel. She is, she has extreme patience because she just does. So thank you, honey. We got to take a break
And when we come back, we have Courtney Kreider coming on.
Courtney!
You know, yay, she's out there right now. So this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Judy Maxwell has had such a successful business starting in 1993. And right now, if you want a second opinion on your retirement plans or your 401s, give Judy a call. She, you know, things have changed a lot in the last few years. Free review and evaluation on your plans. And plus, you get to have somebody that really, really knows what they're doing take a look at your retirement plans. And that's what we want, is enough to last until the last day. I want my last check to bounce. Does that make sense? Okay. Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Give her a call at 221-0441. We'll be right back. It is 7:15 in the morning and, gosh, what, 38 or something out there.
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Radiant Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Radiant Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 AM, or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your local neighborhood health food store. We are dedicated to the healthy lifestyle, and we strive for a high standard to carry organic, GMO-free, and clean, healthy products.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
We have certified nutritionists on staff that take pride in helping you. Supporting local, we are all in it together. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Whiskey River, take my mind.
Well, it did.
Well, you know, there's something about just that kind of music and that feel that, you know, I think right now, America needs.
Welcome
right?
back to Street Fighter Radio here in the studios of Whiskey River and 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott.
Drink some water.
I'm drinking more water now. Phone lines here, 605-4567. And that's all I know. Oh, today is the 5th of March, 7/19, 43 degrees out there.
Well, you get to pick up that broken glass when we get home. For which jewelry is, speaking of beautiful glass, you know, glasses, diamonds, we call it glass. Girl, you got glass. 2225 Hilltop Drive in Reading for all your jewelry needs, really, for your watch repair, for any kind of loose stones. Perhaps you have a prong that you're worried that maybe the stone will fall out. If you're looking for a pearl or an individual stone, they can get it for you. Shop locally, once we say that once again, or you can give them a call at 222-2750. They're located at Hilltop Drive, right across from where you were whiskey imbibing last night.
I was
kitty corner to see our Gibbs.
They are? No, I know they are. Hey, we are so happy to have Courtney Kreider with us today. Good morning.
Good morning. And Linda, I tried to, you know, make sure that he was a little reserved last night, but I guess I left.
You were doing a girl's night. Hey, Sierra, just do a shout out. They've really put their pedal to the metal. They've just shined their buttons, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have figured out every single way to make sure that they can have their dining, have people in, and I used to work at T.R. Gibbs, for people that don't know, before I was at KRCR, I call it my Gibbs family.
Aww.
Yeah. Oh, well, we're going to talk a little bit about that.
And but the Romans, shout out to the Romans.
It is true that Courtney was there and said, hey, Carl, and we're talking, she said, what are you here for? I said, well, I think there's a whiskey tasting, or, you know, for Lassen Park, and she goes, well, don't drink too much, and I went, you know, Courtney, I haven't drank too much in like 46 years.
You laughed.
I laughed because I don't. And then, anyway.
Every time.
Okay.
Courtney.
People go, Courtney Kreider. That name sounds familiar, but who is she? So who is she?
Who am I? Well, I always tell people it's funny. I mean, I'm a hometown girl. That's why I just loved being able to represent my community here. And I didn't even realize, I guess, how big that community was until reporting, where I was able to meet people just on a whole nother level and tell their stories. But I actually, people that know me, I'm a Niemeyer. I just use Kreider on TV. And so I grew up in Viola. And
wow.
I still have family up there, and I grew up in Viola till about 16.
Viola is beautiful. That is a little bit step out there.
Yes. So I'm maybe more of a mountain girl than a hometown girl.
Oh, well, that's great. How did you get into TV reporting?
Well, I would sit at home and watch the O'Reilly Factor with my dad when I was little.
Yeah.
And I just always, I don't know, I loved absorbing news, all news. And so growing up, he always said, you know, I have a lot of opinions too. Maybe I should write a book. And I said, well, yeah, maybe I will. Maybe I'll have the Courtney Show. So I always loved news. And then when I was in eighth grade, my uncle actually dated a woman at KRCR that was from out of the area. She was from Colorado. And so I'd get out of school, go and do my homework, watching Jennifer and Mike, and just always loved news. But then I did internships there, but I went to Chico State for a degree in criminal justice because I wanted to have more of a perspective and kind of a different side, I guess, to my storytelling. And that's what I think, too. I mean, I have a heart for law enforcement. My dad's also in law enforcement in Montana. I'm not Chief Kreider's daughter.
Wow. <Well,
so, laughs>
That's great. No, this is just wonderful. Okay,
I knew that because you had mentioned it one time when we were on. You were doing a story on the range.
Someone will probably call him today and say, oh, we heard your daughter on.
So you went you went into criminal justice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell us a bit about your schooling and your studies with that.
So through that, a lot of criminology, some of it, I wrote my thesis on criminal profiling versus racial profiling and kind of how just the debate of, I guess, what law enforcement does go through and what you have to have versus, you know, what's beyond the line. And obviously you learn too through that you're held to your training, and which California has some of the best training. I mean, I think they set the bar for kind of other states that mm-hmm. go through any kind of police academies. So,
well, that's nice to hear.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, that's the same thing. You look at our Highway Patrol. It's probably one of the premier law enforcement agencies in maybe even in the nation. And then you've got all the other things, like, you know, even local police, well-trained. I think that they've all got they've all gone through it. And they've all got, you know, and people don't realize what police go through every day.
No.
And the only thing they see is, you know, unfortunately, the end results of one bad policeman.
And really, I think that police don't have a voice in the media. They don't have a side. And when I was debating, okay, what am I going to do with my degree? Do I still love news? I decided I want to be a voice for law enforcement. And that was hard. You can't just tell people that in the news when you're applying. I mean, uh-huh. I've heard the tone change when I've talked to different directors as far as, well, this is my passion, or at least this is my expertise. And it's not always welcome, which is sad for me, because I think everyone knows around here, just through my stories, I have a heart for our first responders, uh-huh. and especially law enforcement.
Okay, so you graduate from college, and then what happened?
And then I started up at KRCR.
Really? Right after that?
Yep.
I'll be darned.
I was still working at CR Gibbs at the time.
You're just a kid.
Well, I'll be 28 this July, Carl. I'm like the oldest I've ever been.
So what do you plan, what are you doing now with your vocation, profession? There's so many things that you can...
Let me ask something.
Okay.
Because...
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions out there.
Well, that leads to that. But, Courtney, you were very well received here in town.
Thank you.
Well, you really were. And people knew who you were. You were out there during the fires. You did good stories. You did stories that other people wouldn't do, is why do people get concealed carries? You did a real good story on that, you know, and how it works. Plus, everything. You did stories and everything, but I really remember the fires and how you were out there.
Oh.
And so, but then you left somewhat abruptly.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I've asked Courtney if I could, you know, ask her about this during the break, because I wouldn't otherwise. And was it just a disagreement on what you wanted to do?
I would say, yeah, disagreement of basically how news should be and how at least my reporting. I feel like I can at least control what comes out of my mouth and what I do. And it was at that level that it was like, nope, we're going to control what comes out of your mouth. And a lot of people don't know. I actually resigned last year mm-hmm. for I was ready to quit, because I was so upset just with how the mainstream media, and I used to hate that term, the media,
mm-hmm.
But I was upset with how that was going. I felt like the truth wasn't out there, and I felt like this just kind of fear factor was in place of it during all this COVID stuff, and then during a lot of people questioned the election. And I just feel like here we have this platform to question everything. I mean, we should be the one knocking at the door of the CDC and everyone right now, and that's just something that we're not doing, and I'm told we're not going to. So when it came to hurting a local business intentionally in town last year, and we saw what happened with the post office, and they're good friends of mine, so mm-hmm. that was when I just said, well, this is not something I'm going to be a part of. But then fire season hit, and so it was okay, so I stayed, and I just felt like the community still needs me, and as long as I felt like I was serving a purpose there, that's what I want to do. But after fire season and then one presidential election, it was that following week, you know, I wouldn't do a scripted COVID piece that came down from corporate. And then that was when, I get a call not to come back to work. And that was that.
That was it. Well,
there was a period of time that I recall – that, if I'm not mistaken, certain people in the media, we're not going to say what corporation or whatever, did get a script. And they had to be.
And that was Sinclair. That was the owner station.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. So
that was, you saw the anchors wearing the same color shirt. Same script, and that was what was coming through my head where I said, I am not going to be a part of anything like that.
And that did not get good press.
No.
When that came out, it was, you know, that, now we're talking group speak here.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, okay, well, then, in your question then is, what's happened since then?
Well, I went and took a job at.
I tell you what, before we start.
All right, let's take early breaks. We have time for you.
Take a little bit of an early break.
Thanks for being with us this morning. But tune in on the other side, everybody, because you're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. This is Your Talk Radio. Carl and Linda Bott, we're here with Courtney Kreider. And, of course, this portion of the show is brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield and Repair. If you've got a chip or a crack on your windshield, why have it replaced? Just go to Jeff, the expert, located on Market Street, can do up to 20 some inches. Just take it into him for a free estimate, and he'll tell you what he can do and turn it around. Probably have it done within a couple hours. You're good to go on the road. We'll be right back here and see you after these messages. Hang in there.
Rumors spreading around, you need to take the time. Right to check outside the game. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that whole mile on the range. They got a lot of nice girls.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park is back open for exploration. See the West Coast Biennial Art Exhibition featuring diverse pieces by artists up and down the West Coast. Enjoy the Visible River Aquarium, Caverns Exhibits, Parrot Playhouse, and more. There's something for everyone to discover at Turtle Bay.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. And you may qualify to get the 26% federal tax credit. At Powerhouse Solar, we are an elite dealer for SunPower, and we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels. A lot of people don't realize they have options now. You can get the SunPower SunVault battery and solar with financing, so keeping the lights on when the grid goes down is easier than ever. And the entire system is backed by their 25-year warranty. Powerhouse Solar can design a system for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com. Again, call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit us online at powerhousesolar.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, We've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Turtle Bay Annual Auction is going virtual. Now everyone can take part in bidding on exciting items and supporting Turtle Bay. Bidding begins March 11th. Tune in for the live virtual watch party March 20th on Facebook Live or YouTube. Go to turtlebay.org and click the online auction banner to register and learn more.
Say you don't know me. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, your home of free talk radio.
And it is the 5th of March, and it looks like we're going to have a chance of shower today with a high of 65, overnight lows of 41. As we progress through the week, it looks like we're going to have a chance of showers, partly sunny on Sunday, Monday showers, and Monday night showers likely. But, pretty temperate weather besides Saturday night around 39. So, there you go.
This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, community-oriented, locally owned, locally run. This is a true community bank. When you talk about it, Cornerstone has done so much to help people move their dreams forward during these very trying times of COVID. They were the leader in the payroll protection plan, getting people paid, saving businesses, saving jobs. All of this is at Cornerstone Community Bank. Three locations, one in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way, 1845 California Street, right here in downtown Reading, and the main location is at 192 Hartnell Avenue in the old Copplestone Shopping Center. We're here, but, okay, look, yes, I did, I may forget what I'm saying sometimes.
No, you were good.
No,
let's
good.
Go to Courtney.
No, let's go to Courtney Kreider, who is here, and obviously. And Courtney,
happy to be here.
Yeah, well, you warned me last night about Carl. Linda will be unhappy if you are not a good boy. And I went,
I like the fact that what you said in the prior segment,
yes,
about how, you know, you had you studied criminality, or what's the word? Criminal justice. Criminology.
Yep, criminal justice.
Yeah, sorry. You started, I touched the flag. And as you came to be a reporter, it got to where, I'm just kind of
paraphrasing.
It got to where they were scripting the news and you were out on the streets reporting, and it was like there was a part of your integrity as a human being and as a reporter that they weren't coinciding. So you really weren't reporting the truth as a reporter. From your eyes, your heart, your outlook as a professional. So you decided to leave.
Yeah.
And I applaud you for that. Very, very difficult when it's something you want to do. Now you're going to be creating your own thing. And we'd love to hear about that. But, so what is that?
So what we're doing is I got a call from some friends while I was in Omaha, and this is when I was, it was a battle every day, and I really thought, look, I produce my own news, and really it's not even mine, it's people's stories out there, and if I can't do that, then what am I doing? And, when you have a boss that tells you, well, it's a liberal world, Courtney. The news business is a liberal world, and you just have to play the game, and you're not going to change it. I thought, well, shoot, my parents taught me a lot different. So, yeah, I'm going to do everything I can at least to try. And if I fail, then at least I'm going down with something that I believe in. So right now we are working. I'm working with Carlos Zapata and Woody Clendenin. And we're working to start up our own media company. And through that, we are doing a documentary here. And we have a great team, Jeremy Edwardson. He's our producer. We even have Alyssa McEwen. She has been with Open Shasta and, just trying to really raise some attention at Board of Supervisor meetings. And so what we want to do is there's some really great stuff that's coming out of Shasta County, people standing up, people wanting their businesses open, or not even necessarily wanting, but having to have their business open to put food on the table. And out of that, we really feel like the local control aspect is important. You want to be represented locally when it's on the news, and you want to be have someone that's in charge that is listening to you and not necessarily always listening to the governor when it doesn't coincide with the people. So out of that, we made Red, White, and Blueprint. So super happy to be brought along with it. And what it is we want it to be a blueprint for other counties across the country to jump on board with, where we can show them, here's how you take back local control. And part of that is a touchy topic that is a recall. And so we are not leading the recall, but we are documenting it, and we're going to light some fire under it.
So you're making a documentary of what's happening here in Shasta County,
mm-hmm.
essentially.
Correct.
That's exciting.
Well,
that is so exciting.
On how people are upset, we've had these rules forced down our throat from Governor Newsom, who's made several really bad decisions, in my opinion. The border supervisors have, and this is my opinion, I mean, they have not pushed to have businesses shut down. You know, in other words, the sheriff's not doing anything, the chief
right.
of police isn't doing anything as far as citing people. But I understand the frustration in all this. So what, you know, when you say the red, white, and blueprint, that can work anywhere.
Yeah.
So what are the objectives of it, would you say, besides the recall?
Mm-hmm.
Because that really is kind of like if everything else doesn't work, right?
Right. So, and that's kind of a last resort.
Yeah.
And with the mindset of it, it really is kind of focusing. A lot of people say, oh, you know, I go out to vote for president, but they don't even know who their own supervisor is. And so just kind of showing that if you think you can't make a difference right now, you really can, because, I mean, we have people looking at us. We're here. We're California, the bluest state ever. And we're not only recalling our governor, which they say couldn't be done, but signatures are adding up for that. And then to take back local control in a county, I mean, it could be something that's really great. And, you know, a county in San Francisco or L.A. County, maybe you want to do it differently. And it's more, you know, where it's not about right or left. Obviously, this is going to appeal more where it's going to look really right. You know, we've already been called right-wing extremists by some people. But it's really about what the people in your area want. And if you want to be able to decide that, I mean, we see that in Texas. Everyone was raving about Texas the other day. Oh, they're open, they're free. Well, I was in Nebraska, which is the same way, but in Omaha, it's a misdemeanor not to wear a mask. So the cities can put, or counties can put on more restrictions, and I think you've probably heard the sheriff talk about this, but they can't do less. And we think it should be, well, you can do what's best for the people in your area.
I think that, you know, the one part of the political structure that we can affect, mm-hmm. really, is your city and county.
Right.
That's when people get involved. Every 2 years, we have another election. You know, I think they're there for 4-year terms,
mm-hmm.
voter supervised. So every 2 years, we have an election that takes, you know, some of them run for election then. Is that the time to push forward? Or is it so important, or there's so many things going on that are wrong that it would get to a recall, in your opinion?
In my opinion, I feel like that's where we are, and I'm not going to take credit for that recall movement, because we've had a group here that, like I said, we're going to be documenting, and they have really started where they've outlined, look, these reasons are, it's kind of last resort. And if we wait till 2024 or whenever that may be, then it is too late. If you look, because I know that elections, obviously special elections, cost money.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of money that's been spent for whatever is, quote, safe, you know, during COVID, and right now safe, it's like there's no nexus for that word, but everyone's deciding kind of what that means to them. And if people want to do that individually, I think that they should. But when your county does or your city does, and it's something that goes against what the people are feeling, then that's when you've just drawn a line where it's mm-hmm. too much.
Okay. So the so it's this has been going on for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the is the anger just about COVID?
I don't think it's just
because
about
it,
COVID.
It was never before COVID that you saw so many people.
I think that through COVID, and I mean, I believe in COVID. I know people that got COVID. I thought I had it, and then I saw some of the reactions of people that did, and so I thought, okay, maybe not. And, you know, I'm not an anti-vaxxer or not this, mm-hmm. but people want to be able to choose, right? We're in America where uh-huh. we've kind of established that that is our God-given rights. And so I think that what they did where they took so much so fast during COVID that – It brought that anger, and people that are angry want to do something. So this is a way to fuel that in a good way and not in just a divided way.
One of the questions, we can address that after we get back from the break. How do people actually reach you? How can people connect with her? Leads, tips, info? Via the docuseries, all that kind of stuff. We'll get that on the way back.
Yeah.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by my big favorite place to get my haircut ever. Okay, there was that one little spot in Okinawa where they gave you little massages on your shoulder.
Okay, Carl. You know. 1976.
Okay. Oh, right. Whoa, not right. It all was right. 1976, come to think of it. That was a big year for me. That was the first time somebody really shot at me and meant it. Okay, the Cypress Square Barber Shop. And I'll ask Tim and Logan, have a little massage back here on my shoulders, and they'll laugh and throw me out. Cypress Square Barber Shop is where I have been going for 14 years. Is absolutely a fabulous place. It's very safe. They work on appointments, but they've been doing appointments before COVID. So you don't have to wait in line. You can just come in, get your hair cut. You give them a call at 244-9478. It's a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. It's Man's Last Stronghold, that Cypress Square Barbershop. Linda and I will be back right after these messages with Courtney Kreider. And it's 43 degrees out there today on the 5th of March at 7:46 in the morning.
Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
And welcome back to our morning show here on this Friday. Yeah, the 5th of March. This is Carl and Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio. That is our
call sign.
96.5 FM, 1460 AM. This is your talk radio, and we're here with the one and only, just a wonderful, I just love your energy, Courtney Kreider. Good morning.
Good
Welcome
morning.
Back. We've just got a few minutes left before we have Doug LaMalfa calling in, which he does.
I cannot wait to hear what Doug says about the these bills that have just been passed. And
oh my
I mean,
gosh.
And I tell you what, last month I asked him the question, so when do you think bipartisanship is going to start again? Congressman, he goes, oh, it's going to be a while. You
uh-huh.
know, we have Congress people, AOC, accusing Senator Cruz of trying to have her murdered. I mean, you know. So what do you see? I've got all types of comments in here, like, do you see a Project Veritas happening? That kind of thing, or you know, some and you want to start. You want to start another. I guess, alternative news
mm-hmm. well,
organization.
Yeah, just an opportunity for people. You know, every person that I hear, and even when I left, it's we've turned off the news. People are looking for the truth, or they're just looking to turn it on and at least feel like they're represented. And so that's what I'm looking to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so grateful with everyone that has been reaching out, and I haven't been able to get back to all of your messages because it's just been an outpouring of support. It was support when I left, support welcoming me back, which is great because, you know, at first that step, it's almost a little bit embarrassing. You feel vulnerable, and it's the unpopular move, I guess, to to do what I did, but I felt like it was right in my heart, and I feel like there is so much more here, too, for me to do, and that's why I came back here out of all other options to do this red, white, and blueprint, because I feel like it's what we need. So
I imagine you had other options out there.
A few. I do, though, on my Facebook page, if people want to message me, my
okay.
phone number's on there. You can send me a message. You can tag me.
Your phone number is on there. That's how I
it
called
is.
You yesterday.
Oh, yes.
Because I looked at yeah. Okay.
So please reach out to me if you have something that you want, would like me to cover or anything. I appreciate those messages.
Oh, you know what? There's a... We have the newspaper,
mm-hmm.
which we know is USA Today, and we know that they put things in there that, you know, to me, a community needs to have the whole picture to be able to make up your minds that, you know, if people are listening in today, if they have a question for you, they call in, and,
mm-hmm.
if, you know, whatever the question is, and you either answer it or don't, and it's up to the person. But the other thing is when you don't know anymore, in many cases, is this truly a news piece, or is there somebody's opinion
mm-hmm.
in this? And you can, and so you've got USA Today, and somebody put in here, there's probably like six major corporations that control most of the you know, TV and print media, you know, as far as mm-hmm. it goes.
And that's a great thing. Right now I work for myself, so yeah. I have no obligations to anyone. But I will be frank with, I mean, if you look at my page right now, Courtney Kreider, and that's my same page that I had while I was at the local news, and I've kept mm-hmm. that, and you'll see where I come from, you'll see my bias, but that's because I feel like when I started out reporting, yeah, if you've watched me on the news, it's purely facts, and that's what I think it should be. But if you go the extra length to look me up and you want to know those things, then I feel like you deserve to know where I come from, and you deserve to know, you know, what my bias may be, and I'll tell you. And so that's something
Our 6 to 7 hour is news, and that's what Sue does. This our show is an opinion thing. Mm-hmm. We try to give both sides, you know, a chance to, to come on. But that's different than news.
Right.
It's kind of like, any of these people that are on TV, anywhere from Rachel Maddow to Laura Ingraham, mm-hmm. that those are opinion shows.
And you're allowed to have your opinion. Yeah. The news is not, unless, of course, you advertise it like that.
That's right.
But I feel like in broad spectrum, right, we have, your mainstream that you have – the media has government power right now without the government accountability. And that's where I got into it. You know, this is what we say. No stories outside of this. And we listen to this science, but not this science. And I don't know if it's correct. Why not show every story possible?
Well, you know, and the other thing too.
That's a powerful thing you just said.
But
government. Say the line again.
Well, oh man, it is. This is how I feel, and this is just through watching a super political year on health and the election. I feel like mainstream media has government power without the government accountability. Because, I mean, we're seeing this with cancel culture, and we're seeing this with you turn on NBC, and it's the same message from this anchor as that anchor said, and then as we'll hear here, locally, and it's,
which is one of the reasons.
That's a pretty powerful line there.
That the people's reaction to our news, you know, to the press, mm-hmm. is at an all-time high in the lack of credibility, that they don't trust the press. I think it's like 96% of the people say the press is biased. I mean, where have we come to that when you get 96% of the people think the press is biased? Because then you don't trust it. I mean, I'll read an article now, and from a number of different sources, I'll read it, then I'll look it up on another one, and it's are we talking about the same thing? Because it is so different, and, you know. So it's tough. So so Courtney, we applaud you for this. We applaud you for taking a stand.
Yeah, absolutely.
We really do. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. It means a lot.
Somebody has to. I mean, you have to do that, and I'm really looking forward to seeing this documentary when it comes out.
Our trailer will be coming out in a few days, and the first episode on March 26th, so you can check it out on the Red, White, and Blueprint on all of our social platforms. And, yeah, thank you guys so much for having me on.
Somebody's calling right now, so I'm not sure who that is. If they have
Doug
a question.
Well, Doug calls in, too.
Well, at 8:05.
Okay.
And hopefully he won't be in his
maybe he's calling Courtney. Hey, girl.
450.
You know, I thought about writing a letter to him when all this was going on. I mean, I had started a letter, and it just,
That would be like, Doug, hey, girl.
Yeah.
High five.
He's great.
Is there a question for Courtney there?
Yeah, we have Barbara on the line.
Okay. Quickly.
Quickie.
Barbara, we got like 1 minute.
Hello?
Yes, Barbara Young. We've got like 1 minute.
Oh, okay. I'll make it quick. I just want to say how refreshing it was to hear somebody like Courtney on your radio show today. What a fresh air, a breeze of honesty and news. I can't wait till she gets in the newspapers so we can see her on a regular basis.
There you go. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you, Barbara.
Okay.
You're welcome, hon. Good luck.
Okay, and when we come back from, we still got a minute to go here, by just leaving me by myself. We got 1 minute left. Would you like to say something, Linda, before you take off?
Well, I just really appreciate all the well wishers. As you know, when we, as we finish this week and we get ready with the spring, and you know, I had our astrologer on last night. We're going to be in like some new times, and I think this is very refreshing, Courtney, you coming on, because I really believe in the your spirit talks to you. You know, and it's just really weird how divisive people are. Really good friends, and it's shocking that people think that they can take their stuff and leave it in the room right when you're there and not think about manners, not think about respect. I think we're all kind of reeling right now. So we just want to really do, again, a shout-out before I take off and Doug LaMalfa comes on with Carl, is just think of all our sponsors who believed in us for 11 years on the air. And I have my heart is full of gratitude for those people who have supported us. And as we do that, we support you and what you do. We hope to see more of you here on KCNR, because you just really, you're a missing part of what we really need here, to hear more of that voice.
Thank you so much. I'm overwhelmed.
Okay, we're going to take a break from the news, and Congressman LaMalfa should be calling in at around 8:05. And if he doesn't, I will just keep this place going.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Economist Sarah House on the government's latest employment report.
The Labor Department says employment rose by a whopping 379,000 jobs last month as the number of confirmed coronavirus cases recedes from the surge that started the year and states and cities begin to ease business restrictions. Meanwhile, the unemployment rate edged down to 6.2%. The report says most of the job gains occurred in leisure and hospitality, one of the sectors hit hardest by the pandemic. Smaller gains were seen in temporary help services, health care and social assistance, retail and manufacturing. State and local government, education, construction and mining saw declines, and some 10 million people remained unemployed in February. I'm Ben Thomas.
Senators racing for a marathon session could go right into the weekend. Democrats racing to pass a massive coronavirus relief bill without any Republican support.
The Senate will begin a Votorama, a freewheeling session where any senator will be able to force a vote on a potential change to the nearly $1.9 trillion bill. Senate Minority Whip John Thune says this is a chaotic process to start with, and it's certainly working out that way. Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin described the hectic session as awful and dilatory, given that Senate Democrats are expected to have the votes to pass the coronavirus bill. It's just a question of when. South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham said the Votorama allows senators to force votes, but added that it was also stupid. Bernie Bennett reporting.
The Wall Street Journal and the New York Times say a New York State Health Department report on nursing home deaths issued in July was doctored by Governor Cuomo's staff to conceal a higher actual death count. Stocks now in the red on Wall Street. The Dow is down 5 points. The NASDAQ off 176. The S&P 13 points lower. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The IRS doesn't mess around. If they want your money, they'll take it. They can take your paycheck and bank accounts, too, even threaten your home or business. Don't take on the IRS alone. If you owe back taxes, the smartest thing you can do is call Optima Tax Relief. The experts at Optima specialize in a powerful IRS tax assistance program called the Fresh Start Initiative. And their clients that qualify are saving thousands, even tens of thousands. One call starts the process to stop the demand letters, stop aggressive collection actions, and stop the IRS from targeting you. But don't delay. It's important to act now while you still have options. Optima is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. Optima has already resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. Get your life back. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima now for your free consultation.
Call 800-965-1433. 800-965-1433. 800-965-1433.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Pope Francis in Iraq, brushing aside the coronavirus pandemic and security concerns to make his first ever papal visit. The BBC's Mark Lone traveling with the Pope.
Visiting six cities, the Pope will aim to embolden persecuted Christians and call for peace in meetings with political and other religious leaders, including Iraq's top Shia cleric. But with security concerns and rising infections, he'll have limited exposure to the public, though a mass on Sunday, expected to be attended by up to 10,000 people, has raised fears that the trip could become a super spreader.
After the deadly earthquake came the sinkholes. A central Croatian region, about 25 miles southwest of the capital, is pocked with round holes of all size. They appeared after the December 6.4 magnitude earthquake. Scientists have been flocking to the sparsely inhabited region for observation and study. News and analysis at townhall.com. A link to the assassination of JFK has died.
Marie Tippit, the widow of the Dallas police officer killed by Lee Harvey Oswald about 45 minutes after the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, has died. She was 92. Her son said she died Tuesday at a hospital in the East Texas city of Sulphur Springs after being diagnosed with pneumonia following a positive test for COVID-19. She was a 35-year-old mother of three when her husband, Officer J.D. Tippit, was killed on November 22, 1963. John Scott reporting.
China increasing defense spending 6.8%. National budget reports issued today says China will spend $210 billion on national defense in the coming year. That's on top of a 6.6% increase in defense spending last year. The Dow now bounced into positive territory, up 27 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. It is the 5th of March. It's 8:05 in the morning, and the phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. The news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. Linda's on her way to Sacramento, so she just ran out. So the weather today, I get to do, have you got the weather there? What?
I do have the weather here.
You do the weather then.
All right, it's currently 42 degrees here downtown. Today we have a slight chance of showers during the day with a 90% chance of showers tonight. Tomorrow we have a slight chance of showers, then it's going to be mostly sunny. Today we have a high of 65, a low of 41. Tomorrow is a high of 57, a low of 39. On Sunday it's going to be partly sunny with a high of 61, a low of 39 with a slight chance of showers on Sunday night. And on Monday we have a 6% chance of showers during the day. The high of 56 and a low of 40.
Okay, hey, the weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane out of Anderson, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Hey, in the chat room here, we're waiting for Congressman LaMalfa to give us a call. You know what? You're talking about wanting to hear both sides. I am so in favor of that. You know, this we have, we'll just say it, we have some conservative shows on the station, local shows. We also have shows on veterans. We also have shows on mental health and being able to handle things with Dr. Patty Bay. We also have, on Monday nights, we have a show called Radio Wasteland. And I listen to that because I love to hear the things about aliens, but they're really, you know, but they're a pretty liberal group on that one too. I mean, really, and one of them describes himself as herself as an anarchist. And I know her, and I thought, this is not my idea of an anarchist. But, on Thursday nights, we have North State Now, which is four different hosts. But what I really, really, really want to have, and we're working really hard at it right now, is to get a show aimed at progressive Democrats. We have the host, but they can't. We're having a problem getting sponsors for them. And it's not, it's not a tremendous sum of money for this, and they have a weekly show. And, you know, when people say, I'd love to hear the other side, if you'd like to help support these, you know, this show, you can always give us a call. And we're more than happy to put you in that group that will support the show. And, you know, I see something here that says left-leaning liberal voices have all the MSM in their pocket. But it's important in my, and just in my estimation, that we have Democrats here. We have liberal Democrats here that, you know, they need to have their voice too on our station, because we try to represent everybody in our community here. So, just keep that in mind. Okay. We have, so many things that are happening out there. I think one of the big things is Congress passing this. We talked about it yesterday with Chief Bill Shuler. Is this bill they passed in the middle of the night? They call it reform, but in reality, it's actually part of it is for defunding the police, shifting resources is what they call it. Other things are, it makes the policeman's job more dangerous. Now, why would people do this to make the law enforcement more their lives more dangerous out there? When it, you know, so for so many years, police and military and other occupations have a lot of legacy in it, in the sense of a father will be in it, then their son, you know, gets into the same business. Maybe their grandfather was in it. You see a lot of that in the military. Grandfather, great-grandfather, father, son, grandson go into the military. But a lot of that also is in law enforcement. And we've gotten to the point now that there's law enforcement officers out there that say, tell their kids, don't do it. Don't do it. And I find that sad, but I also find it very telling that when you used to have 300 or 400 applicants for every job, and now it's down to 10 or 15 applying for a job. And then out of that, you've got to pick the best one, if any of them are, you've got to pick the best one to become part of your police department. And then after you send them through school and they come back, as Chief Shuler said, you know, 50% of them aren't going to make it. They're not, you know, they don't make it past that year of training because of for whatever reason they've realized this is not what I want to do, or they're not suitable. You don't want them on the streets by themselves. So when you look at it, you know, when we talk about, well, he gave him a raise. Well, there's got to be a way of getting people here and getting people to apply for the job. Over the next 3 years, we're going to lose, I think, 16 officers to retirement. We could. But 16 officers, think about that, and we're already short. And we're having a problem in the recruitment side of it. You would think that people, you know, police up in Seattle or Portland or some of the big cities back east or other places would love to come out to Redding. You know, the pay is good. The ambiance of our area is really good. The outdoors is cool. We have a good educational system. We have a great medical system up here. You would think that you could get people out here. But I think people are saying to themselves, I don't need to put that kind of pressure on myself to be a law enforcement. And it's sad. It's sad. The military is still recruiting and making its goals, but there's going to be a day that they don't, unless they start wavering and bringing in people they wouldn't ordinarily not waver 5 years ago. And we've reached a point where the draft comes back. And people laughing, you know, no, that'll never happen. Well, I think it will. It may not be in the next 10 years, but I think there's going to be a time when the draft will come back. We just will not have enough qualified people that choose to join the volunteer force. They're going to have the volunteer force. And then some of those, you know, that lucky 100,000 that gets drafted, male and female. Do you want to, you know, so the question is, you know, at some point we are going to pay for this. And right now you can complain about the, you know, some people complain about the pay that the officers make. Well, guess what? If you don't have officers to pay, what are you going to do then? Is that when we call the militia up to help patrol the, to patrol the streets. Do you get to the point, and it's not there, of course, now, and it won't be in the next few years, but what at some point do we have to go to the governor and ask for a, hey, we need some National Guard troops here? And I know you're thinking, oh, Carl, come on, that'll never happen. Really? I'm looking at things right now. Unless things change, that could happen. Let's go to the phones. Congressman LaMalfa.
Hey, how are you?
You know what? We're finer than frog here, Congressman. You got here just in time. You got here.
Fine.
Hey, I'm going to skip this break. Okay, skip this break because I got the congressman here. What are you all doing back there? This you know, in the middle of the night, the defund the police bill, the COVID stuff. I mean, I know you're fighting against it, but what's happening back
there?
Well,
the irony is really, really thick there, because the irony of in the middle of the night doing a defund the police bill instead of doing it the following day because they were afraid of a March 4th so-called insurrection due to what they're picking up by a couple crackpots on the internet. We left town a day early because they were afraid there's going to be another, attack of the Capitol or maybe the White House, because they're watching what a couple of people are saying on the internet. So we actually got out a day early, which I can't complain about too much between you and me and your thousands of listeners right now. But it's a deal where they're putting one crazy bill up after another, and so they just crammed it together on Wednesday night so everybody could run out of town on Thursday.
Wow.
So instead of the normal, you know, it's a four-day work week in D.C. typically, right?
Yeah. But the, this thing, we had the, we had Reading Police Chief Bill Shuler on Wednesday, not yesterday,
yeah.
But Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I just went on a diatribe here about that we can't recruit police. And what happens when you can't recruit police? Because they're just, there's so many that were legacies, and now the fathers or mothers are telling their sons and daughters, I don't really want you to go into police work.
Yeah, like a lot of people were telling people, don't go into the Obama military or the Clinton military.
Yeah.
Back in the time, too.
Well,
that doesn't do a lot for morale or recruitment, as you say. Capitol Hill Police, the numbers I had is that there's a drop off of 60 members just in a short amount of time of Capitol Hill Police, and that might be a low number, because morale's not great there. They're all blaming each other around the place there, where bottom line, when they should have had some more National Guard or some backup, which the information coming out is Trump asked for it 2 days before January 6th.
Wow.
And these guys turned him down. Whether it was a combination of the police chief or Mrs. Pelosi yelling at the police chief, there's a bunch of it going on with the Secretary of Defense or the Secretary of the Army saying, oh, we don't want those optics of National Guard there on January 6th. Like, well, what optics are you getting right now with a giant, Checkpoint Charlie border fence around two layers around the Capitol? You know how hard it is now for just a member of Congress to get to work? If you want to walk in, you got to. I know this is a third world problem, a first world problem. Like, oh, you have to walk harder. That's so bad. But what I'm saying is that it is not accessible to the people at all. And the one thing this Congress meeting has done is that they have. I think it's about 3 miles worth of fence around the outer perimeter and then another, say, mile and a half on the inner perimeter of the U.S. Capitol.
Kind of like Baghdad in the Green Zone, it sounds like.
I hear a lot of references to the Green Zone, yes.
Yeah.
So this is, whether they're just trying to ply the trade of being scared, because we have House members that are serious Second Amendment vocal advocates about that. Lauren Boebert from Colorado, she's brand new, and she's made a lot of hay lately about how she carries and that she wants to carry in D.C. And all that. The rules don't allow you to carry it inside the Capitol on the floor, but everywhere on the campus you can. And so the Dems, whether they're feigning fear or actually feel that way, you always wonder, because they like to manipulate just about everything to be some kind of political outcome. They're fearful that somebody might be carrying a gun inside the House floor situation there. So so we now have a full set of metal detectors around all the entrances to the House floor. So I don't know if anybody feels sorry for Congress about that, or Bales has it, I guess, just to go and, well, you know, I think they run it tighter in the Reading courtroom than they run it at the airport, for example. You know what I mean? So.
Well, you know, there's so
no,
many.
No, seriously, I've occasionally gone in, it's like you got to really take a lot of stuff off to get in there. So.
Yeah.
And so there's a pretty popular meme these days that shows that if you're running your government so badly you have to be guarded that closely, then you got a pretty bad government, basically, paraphrasing. So, wow. But, we got through January 6th. January 6th is over with. Yesterday was another FACO one, because as your folks may not know, but March 4 used to be the inaugural day up until 1937 for the new president. Then it got moved to January 20th.
Mm-hmm.
So there was those out there on the internet saying, or probably trolling some of those in the security, saying like, yeah, we're going to have a big insurrection again on March 4th. And so, and they ran with that, or they're using an excuse to make drama out of it. And so Pelosi and crew adjourned the House yesterday so we wouldn't have to be there. Wednesday night, so we wouldn't be there on the 4th. So that's how pathetic that looks.
Did they think there was going to be thousands of people coming in again? Or just a small group?
I think they thought that, yes, even though the intel in the days leading up to it was that there wasn't.
I mean,
airlines or hotel rooms that are being filled up. So maybe they thought they were all going to be waiting outside in their Hummers and Suburbans and Jeeps and stuff, you know, just across the border and all come marching in on the day of or something. I don't know what their intel really was. And that's why these days I'm suspicious of most of what these guys come up with to be just a way to make political hay out of it and further the agenda of keeping the big fence up, but also as an excuse to come after Second Amendment rights and other freedom of association like that, because they've made up more ground on that in the last 6 months than I think anybody could imagine. Using the COVID virus as a way to dictate to people, as well as the fears that they're generating out of January 6th.
I read an article this morning, and you mentioned borders, so I'm going to shift it to the southern border. It was from the former ICE director about the changes that the Biden administration has made, doing away with the agreements that the Trump administration made with Central American countries and Mexico. You know, how we're holding people, all of these things, where we had the lowest rate of people crossing the border, and now they're having, he said, 4,000 arrests in one day, and the director under Obama said if we have 1,000 a day, that means it's a bad day. Now we're running 4,000 a day. Are our borders open?
What do you think?
I think they are. It seems to me that here we have, on one hand we have COVID. On the other hand, if we have an open border, it just doesn't make sense to me how they're saying wear the mask, all these rules that they have, and yet they're saying let people come across from areas where they don't have vaccine, where they don't have testing.
Look at the story. You're absolutely right. The story here yesterday, the day before, is that Texas and Mississippi, amongst others, have reopened their states from hard mask mandates, or putting it down to suggestions, do as you wish. Store owners, retailers, they can do it as they wish. And that's a private property to deal anyway. So, but they're all, what was Biden's statement that these guys are doing Neanderthal type thinking?
Yeah.
By opening this up. And so the lieutenant governor of, and the governor and sons both of Texas, I think, are coming on the news saying that Neanderthal thinking
is you guys opening the border up and just letting people pour in, tested, untested, mostly untested, and letting it happen. They think, oh, we're going to test them and cut them loose, and then maybe they'll come back for their court date in 2 years like they're required to. It's a joke, only it isn't funny. And so the greater threat is the open border than what people using common sense and little discretion on how they open in their stores and who wears the mask or who goes shopping or whatever. This is the same question that's gone back a whole year. If you're vulnerable, probably go get someone else to do your shopping for you until something's figured out, whether the vaccine is the be-all, end-all, or, you know, back in the time, we didn't know if it was going to run its course like a lot of other things do. So, you know, and who really, really knows at this point right now? Dr. Fauci changes his mind daily. The vaccine hasn't been tested like it was, has like others have been for the full litany. Those guys sometimes take years and years on that. So,
well, I hope it's good because I've had my shots.
Yeah, well, I hope you're good. So,
I'll let you know there is this. I've noticed maybe starting to have a protrusion on the bottom of my spine. It looks a little bit like a tail. But I'm not sure. But maybe I'll know later.
Well, the devil's in the details, right?
There you go, Congressman. They passed the COVID bill last night or yesterday. Yeah, last night I guess on a 51. It was a 51-50 vote. Vice President Harris cast the deciding ballot. One of the things I found really astonishing that at $1.9 trillion, there's only like $9 billion that has anything to do with COVID that's in it. Am I wrong about that?
Are you surprised by this?
Well, I'm not surprised, but am I wrong? Is that? But it was
no. You're
because
not, you're not wrong. The one estimate is at 9%. Now, if you wanted to be generous and say, you know, more things that could somehow be COVID related, it could be a bigger number than that. It could be, you know, 800 billion. If you want to really define COVID related loosely, but there is so much stuff in there that has nothing to do with. When you talk about emergency legislation, you talk about legislation that has no funding source behind it, right? They haven't raised the tax, they haven't shifted the tax, they haven't cut something else in order to pay for this. It's all right out of whole cloth, as is everything he was passed last year, too, you know, and that's why I've had some real hurt a little bit getting behind some of it, you know, whether Trump was president or Biden now or what have you. So, you know, I bit the bullet on some of it last year because some of it I did not because it's irresponsible spending at some point. The Dems are still trying to get their wish list of things. All the stuff they've always dreamed about, they still try and wedge it in here. Under the guise of an emergency, you know, so-called pandemic, right? I'm getting tired of that word being used the way it is. So there's a lot of information that is inaccurate around this, and it's an advantage that they're using to try and wedge other things. And we'll soon be talking about an infrastructure bill. They were trying to put infrastructure for, you know, Chuck Schumer had some tunnel he wanted to do back east, and SSP wanted to have some big thing that they do out here in the Bay Area. What has that got to do with COVID relief? Yet it was in there. They took it out, and then they wanted to be praised for taking it out here at the last minute. Well, so they have a package here that I suppose passed the litmus test for the Senate parliamentarian. And this gets into a whole other set of complexities how the Senate runs. They passed this bill by 51 votes instead of the normal 60 because they did it under a budget reconciliation maneuver. But budget reconciliation is a way to adjust the budget ongoing. And so it doesn't have to have the same 60-vote margin. So you have to stay in certain parameters of it having something to do with the budget in order to have that lower number. But this is the effect right here of screwing up the election in Georgia, losing both of those seats, getting into a 50-50, screwing up the White House election, sort of the vice president is now a Democrat like Kamala Harris, unbelievably. I still just can't even believe that. And so the tiebreaker now comes down to
their agenda because of how bad we did in those elections, especially Georgia. Especially Georgia. Man, 2 months after we'd seen what went on with November 3 in a chance to maybe tighten some things up within the law, within the timeline, and we still lost those two seats. I thought, could we at least keep one out of the two? It'd be 51-49, and they couldn't run the table on, you know, certain 50 or 51 vote.
No, no, that was what a lot of people were hoping. Hey, Congressman, I do have to take a quick break here. And you're home now, right?
Or, yes, sir.
Or you're not going to be out plowing fields.
You might hear the dogs barking in the background.
That's okay. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals, recognized by the Watson Health Institute, and fully accredited chest pain center. They also have, of course, the Da Vinci surgical robotic system. Less pain, less reduced risk, faster recovery times. All of this is at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts there. We'll be right back after these messages with Congressman Doug LaMalfa.
Seems I've got to have a chance to see you. Every night I have a spell just to imprisoned by the way that could have been left you on my own arms. So it's
Exploration Park is back open for exploration. See the West Coast Biennial Art Exhibition featuring diverse pieces by artists up and down the West Coast. Enjoy the Visible River Aquarium, Caverns Exhibits, Parrot Playhouse, and more. There's something for everyone to discover at Turtle Bay.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most, and their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
Turtle Bay Annual Auction is going virtual. Now everyone can take part in bidding on exciting items and supporting Turtle Bay. Bidding begins March 11th. Tune in for the live virtual watch party March 20th on Facebook Live or YouTube. Go to turtlebay.org and click the online auction banner to register and learn more.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1468, your talk radio. With Carl and Linda Bott. Linda took off from Sacramento here about 10 till 8. It's 8:32 in the morning, and the 5th of March, it's 43 degrees out there. It's going to be it's supposed to be getting rain today, from what I understand, this evening, which we need. Hopefully some snow up there for the snowpack. If you're thinking about purchasing an electric car, Redding Electric Utility has rebates available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle and charging station. Visit cityofredding.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. And we have on the air with us Congressman Doug LaMalfa, who is here with us. It's been years, but the first Friday of each month. And if you've got questions for the congressman, feel free to call in. My big question right now is this H.R. 1. Is it as bad as it seems?
It's probably worse than what you can imagine, because let's skim the surface a little bit.
Okay.
It wants to increase fines on businesses and corporations so it can create a slush fund of putting money into political campaigns is one of the things. So if you qualify your campaign in certain ways, you have to first show your arrival with the $50,000 in the bank. And then after that, every $200 or less contribution to your campaign, this is for congressional seats,
mm-hmm.
This fund will match that at a 6-to-1 ratio. So, you know, if your Aunt Edna sends $200 to the in any given campaign, the federal government will match that with another $1,200.
Okay.
And if there doesn't seem to be much of a limit, I think it caps out at about $6 million that you could receive as a candidate once you've if you've done it. So if you get enough people to send $200 contributions in, which you know they're doing more and more with this online stuff, you know, Act Blue gets a lot of money in around the country for the Dem candidates. So,
right.
You know, the Republicans have attempted to put one together called Win Red, and it's doing okay. But that's where, you know, you're at least making some level or another ask yourself, okay, your solicitation yourself. This would just have the government match it for you. And so there's, if somebody showed me a stat, I can't think of the exact number, but it'd be tens of billions of dollars that we could have the federal government investing if every member of Congress was able to reach those thresholds. In the fundraising. So all that does is make even more cost for elections, more money spent on elections, more garbage TV ads, radio ads, you know, stuff.
We love garbage radio ads. don't be talking about garbage radio ads.
Well, I'm not saying radio is the garbage. I'm thinking
No, I understand. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't like this that much anyway. I think I believe in
freedom. Hey, Congressman, you're wherever you're talking, you've moved away. We can't hear you.
Okay, is this a little better?
A lot better.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So I believe in our election process. I think it should be fair, accurate, above board. I don't see how dumping more money, because this could exponentially make more money, have to be dumped into elections, how this is going to make it better, you know, especially with money that has come into the government can be used for a bazillion other things, such as, you know, some of this money would flow into DOJ or others through fines. Why aren't you using that for other DOJ issues like, you know, helping recover kidnapped kids, you know, human trafficking? There's the funding could be used for a lot more productive things than funding elections. Okay, so that's just one aspect of this. It wants to take away other safeguards. It wants to add ballot harvesting all around the country. It wants to put in place pretty much Californicate elections around the whole country. Okay.
But it also, this thing about, and they want to make mail-in voting permanent, whether the state wants it or not. Did I read that correctly?
Elections. In the Constitution, elections are supposed to be run by the states. That's part of the 10th Amendment thinking process, right?
Right.
The states are their own autonomous entities beforehand. The states, you know, I mean, there's a pretty good chance we wouldn't have had the original 13 states forming the Union, right? They had to, put things in place to make it to where it was attractive for the big states and the small states to be together to form the original 13 and then add on from there. And so state autonomy was important. States should be able to run their own elections within certain guidelines. You know, I mean, we still run federal elections for House, Senate, and the White House that
should be fair to the other states, right? And that's what, that's the basis of that Texas lawsuit that everybody got all offended about on the left and the media that I was part of. And, well, it's part of what your local newspaper said I should resign over, okay?
Right.
That, and as well as the one in Chico. My two largest newspapers are completely off the deep end on this stuff because we dared ask the question that these four states that were named in the lawsuit were changing election laws without legislating them. The legislature made the laws. You run through the committees, you go through both houses of any state legislature, and their governor has to sign it. That's a fairly high bar for passing a law, right?
Yeah.
So when a court can just come in and change it, well, we're going to add some more days to the election. When an election commission that some of these states have, well, we're just going to add more days to the election or other you know, parameters of how they're doing the election. Or a governor can order it, or a lieutenant governor, or secretary of state. That's just executive fiat. That's dangerous, especially with something as important as elections where people, some of those that are elected would have a conflict of interest in signing that stuff anyway and saying all mail in. You know, I mean, California, our governor tried to do that, and finally the legislature did move to say, look, you can't just do it this way. We're going to have to pass the bill. So they crammed one through to make it all mail in here. So,
but at least they went through the legislature, though. I mean, they went through the legislature.
At least they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And other ones just negated it totally, which to me is how do you change your constitution by with an executive order?
Right, and so that's what these newspapers are saying about me over, oh, well, you were trying to tear down democracy and deny an election. Like, well, this is actually setting the basis for the next elections to be have integrity or not, because if we don't have the ability as a legislature, sure, at the state level or even the federal level, to set how the election's done, and it could be changed by Andrew Cuomo or whoever wants to change it, then we've got nothing as far as election integrity. That's really scary. So that's what was really disappointing about the Supreme Court saying, well, there's not jurisdiction here. Like, well, who the heck is going to take the jurisdiction and do something about this? So our best hope on cleaning up elections is the state legislatures around the country that said, wait a minute, we got a problem here. And as you know, I received a letter, along with everybody, all the other House members, before January 6th from Pennsylvania's legislature saying, yeah, we've finally taken a good long look at this. Would you guys consider holding off doing the electoral vote count till sometime after January 6th so that we could better assess how we're going to deal with this? Because we think, they thought the legislature in Pennsylvania finally, after the period of time, discovered, yeah, we got enough problems that we need to dig into this. They didn't want us to certify that election right yet. So I guess, are they going to list all the Pennsylvania state legislators, too, as insurrectionists that need to resign? You know, I mean, I'm going to save my barnyard talk from your audience here, Carl, but that's nonsense, you know? And you know, if that's a standard with which I'm to go along with, then I'm in the wrong job, okay? So...
The fact is that the other thing that bothers me that from this august body of the House of Representatives is there was four or five of them writing to the FCC to have stations that actually have stations removed from the airwaves because they didn't like what they were saying. These are House Representatives that are trying to crush the First Amendment, and nobody seems to be.
Yeah, this is a dangerous time for First Amendment, for speech, for anything we've ever seen. Okay, this is country stuff going on. This is Iron Curtain country stuff going on, and they can
getting closer.
Get away with this, huh?
Okay, you're back, but. But there's something that you kind of like fade and then come back in. You said it was Iron Curtain type stuff.
I'm barely moving here, but, you know, I like my old flip phone better because it's actually shaped to your face better than instead of these square things where you either have it on your ear or away from your mouth and all that. But anyway, that's something else. So I'll attempt to not move my phone any.
You were saying that when they're doing this, they're stepping all over the Constitution, and they seem to think that's okay to ask to have, you know, to end the First Amendment for select organizations.
How well is the Constitution being taught at schools today, do you think, Carl?
Oh, I would imagine that unless you're going to a charter school, that the Constitution does not get a big does not get a lot of classroom time.
And how are they depicting the people that formed up the Constitution and fought for independence?
Slave owners. Racist.
Okay, you said slave owners. So let's talk about, okay, slavery is a bad thing, and some say, you know, even more about it than that. It's a very bad thing. But so let's jump forward to the 1860s and Abe Lincoln. They're still tearing his name off of school buildings in San Francisco, or attempting to. They finally got enough heat for it that they backed off. But there's nobody that's not safe from this kind of First Amendment or historical distorting oppression here. So, you know, they call all the founders bad guys because of this, because of that. They call even drag Abe Lincoln into that. There is no standard anymore other than what a few crazies on the left can get away with and what the media either doesn't counter or ask questions about, and what the schools are happy to teach. So what I'm calling with all this is that school choice is more important than ever for people to have charter school opportunities, private school opportunities, or schools that are at least monitored more closely by their parents. With all the crazy so-called sex education stuff they're putting in California school curriculum, and some of it's under the guise of bullying, you know, well, everybody's against bullying, right? Well, that translates into something a lot different now, because, you know, the whole LGBT agenda there has made it to where anything that would have to do with parents wanting to raise their kids under certain guidelines or certain moral issues has now become hate speech and things like that. And so the sex ed content in schools has become something a lot different than I think your average parent would want to see. And it's mandated. So, and, you know, my wife, we were just talking about this, is that you're not even allowed to teach abstinence in schools. You know, our old friend Rush Limbaugh used to talk about abstinence works 100% of the time on pregnancies and STDs, right? 100%. But you're not allowed to teach that in California schools? What kind of evil is that being passed on that legislature and taking parents their values and convictions and just stomping on them?
Well, we're going to need to take a 2-minute break here, and so you can get some more coffee, and we'll be right back after these messages. But this portion of the show brought to you by Powerhouse Solar. It's an elite dealer for SunPower. Solar energy makes financial sense, and you may qualify to get the 26% federal tax credit. Now you can get the SunPower, SunVault battery, and solar with financing. Keeping the lights on when the grid goes down is easier than ever. That's Powerhouse Solar. Give them a call at 275-5600. We'll be right back with Congressman Doug LaMalfa.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030.
If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
It's never too late to achieve your dream, to turn a skill into a career. At Shasta College, we have late start classes right now and online classes where the commute from the couch to the class has never been easier. We're also offering 8-week compressed classes, same units, half the time. Now is the right time to upskill or reskill for high-demand jobs employers are hiring for. Find out more. Visit ShastaCollege.edu today.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Our guest is Congressman Doug Lamoff. One of the comments is, I don't think this is meant to be just two good old boys talking. And I know I've asked questions about all these bills passing. You seem to be giving the answers to that.
That's the comment, two good old boys talking?
Yeah, just two good old boys talking. That's okay.
Oh, do we want to just talk like a stiff from Washington, D.C. with pre-planned press releases done in press release-y that nobody understands or wants to hear?
You know, I will say this, that, your new communications director I really like the job they are doing there. But what are some of the bills that's going to be seen in the next couple of months, Congressman?
Gun control is next week. We didn't even talk about H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act, which...
Which one is that?
They shoved through the House H.R. 5, Equality, which...
One
of the cornerstones is biological males on women's sports teams and women's areas and, all that. So
there's a lot of pushback on it seems to me there's some real pushback, though, on having, on transgenders being on the, especially in the female sports, be able to participate.
Yeah, you probably won't get a lot in the male sports, but, so the female sports, it becomes a uncompetitive situation with, track records being set or those doing in the, caged arena fighting stuff. Women getting their skulls broken in by a much more powerful, biological male being in there. I mean, it's terrible.
I had not heard of that one. I didn't hear that the MMA was allowing that, but but tennis.
I don't know which division it is. Okay,
yeah.
I don't watch any of that stuff.
Right.
At one division or another, there's a bio male in there crushing the women's heads
in that,
and it's just unbelievable. And so, where are the feminists on that? Where are the more women out there? Saying, some are doing that, but they're even getting their heads taken off by media and others, whether it's in a college situation or being insensitive. Like, well, they're just the discord and chaos being sown among the American people for those out there defending this in our country is a bigger thing. It's about dividing and tearing down our country.
Yeah.
We're busy fighting over this, and, I'm reading intel and looking at video of what China's up to and how their military is building and how focused they are. And, Russia's always going to be what they are. And any other little two-bit terrorist country, they're all doing their thing. And we're over here fighting over we can't figure out which team players are supposed to play on. And all the other, tearing down statues, tearing down names off buildings. We're getting ourselves all exercised over stuff like that. When we got real problems, we can't keep our grid, electrical grid, the energy that is being torn off of our grid or what they want to do. I mean, I hear all your ads for electric cars and solar panels and all that stuff, but we have to have an electrical grid that is reliable, and that means we're going to have large sources of energy that comes from nuclear, continued development of natural gas and fracking and the hydroelectric power. They want to tear down dams up on the Snake River in Washington and, of course, the ones here on the north end of our state. You have destructive people in government, all under the guise of so-called climate change. And for your listeners here, I'll ask a question real fast. How much of the atmosphere do you think is made of CO2? Did I do this with you before, Carl?
You did, so I know what the answer is.
Yeah.
Less than 1%.
No. I grab, you know, some of my colleagues when this issue comes up, and, you know, smart people, they don't pay attention to this stuff to that extent. They think, oh, yeah, you know, we're 20%, 30%, something like, with all the hype, it's right, 50%. No, it's 0.04 of 1%. You know, 99.99% of the atmosphere is either nitrogen, oxygen, argon, or a bunch of other elements. And so we're doing all these headstands because the amount of CO2 has increased 40 parts per million over the last 30 years. And so and of course corporate America is just running as fast as they can. Oh, we're going to make all electric cars. We're getting rid of gas powered cars and diesel powered equipment. I mean, you know, my electric powered tractor, I'll probably get 3 hours at best out of it in a day and have to stop and take the rest of the day off. You know, and all the trillions and trillions of dollars to convert all this stuff. And the idea that CO2 is a harmful gas anyway, that's just been foisted upon us, you know, 15 years ago when the EPA, boom, just declared it. And there's a lot of fake science around that. So I wouldn't be running out buying the electric car that your ads have going there anytime soon.
You mentioned the Second Amendment. What's coming up on that?
This coming week is several pieces of legislation. We're trying to get some of ours in, along with my Republican colleagues, to at least have a counter, at least have something else. But it'll be about background checks. They like to call it common sense gun control or gun legislation, mm-hmm. but it really is about eroding. It's another round of Californicating federal code. So it will be about limiting what you can purchase, whether it's normal capacity magazines or types of guns, how many guns you can have. We haven't seen everything that's in there yet, but they do not want you to be able to own your gun of choice. And so, as the week plays out, we'll see what they actually try on the House floor. But it's going to be a tough week for defending the Second Amendment. And the Dems they're more bold these days about passing anything. When Gingrich and them took over in 94, they did it on the heels of part of it on the gun control measure. You might mm-hmm. remember Feinstein's assault weapon bill. That passed in 94, and it lasted for 10 years. Somehow they at least managed to get a limit on it. It expired after 10 years on the so-called assault weapon ban and hasn't been back since. But it cost the Dems a whole bunch of seats in 94. That's when Gingrich and the guys took over the House majority from 94 until 06. When, you know, Republicans kind of started losing their way a little bit in 06, and we lost it again for 4 years. That's when Obamacare had kicked in and everybody was scared to death, and we got the House back at that point from 10 till 18. And so, you know, we've been in the woods here with Pelosi as Speaker for the last 2 years plus this term. And so we're only five away. We only have to flip five here in 22 to get a House majority back. So kind of what we're having all of us to do as a country is to hold our breath for 2 years and hope they don't get too much bad stuff through the House and through the Senate. So on right. the Senate side, you do have two Democrats, Joe Manchin from West Virginia, a fairly moderate guy, and Kristen Sinema. She's an interesting person herself down in Arizona, but she runs things pretty moderately. Neither one of them have said they will not support getting rid of the filibuster, the 60-vote margin. And
right.
so If that holds, if either one of them continues that stance for the next 2 years, then they can't pass this terrible, terrible legislation. The only thing they can do is the 51-vote stuff, like the budget reconciliation that happened last night on the so-called stimulus for the COVID deal.
Right. We've got a caller.
So we're fairly safe for a little while if they hold to that.
If they hold it.
The worst of it through.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the phones. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Congressman, I wanted to ask you, is there any legislation going on now to where it's bipartisan, where the Republicans and Democrats are working together? Is there anything?
Well, that's a good question, and one that, you know, need to hope for, Nick, is that, you know, the two committees I have are Ag Committee and the Transportation Infrastructure Committee. So those have worked fairly bipartisanly over history until 2018 when they wanted to make both of them all about either some kind of social justice or climate change green stuff. So we got terrible bills out of the transportation last term that didn't go anywhere in the Senate. And so, you know, we just had one of our huddle meetings here this week, trying to talk about transportation and the infrastructure needs. So we're hoping we can get a little farther with our Democrat colleagues on those two committees to focus on what is it's going to make agriculture and all the rural America things that comes from the Farm Bill and USDA. There's a lot of rural grants, rural aid that helps, you know, getting broadband and other things that help our rural people through that, as well as transportation. You know, but the blueprint, if you go read the news, go look at the news on what they talked about yesterday in the White House. And a whole bunch of it was about carbon reduction things. And they want to spend, I think the figure is $2.5 trillion. This is on top of the $2 trillion last spent yesterday with no tax base. Here, they want to, a bunch of it is going to be about carbon. Some of it will be roads and bridge repairs. That's the stuff we need first. Some of it will be urban transit, which, you know, that means rural America is left out. But also, if you look for some of the quotes on that, they say gas excise tax hasn't been raised in two decades. Well, look at your gas prices right now. Now, as remember, too, that when the prices of gas goes up, the sales tax always goes up with it. The excise tax does stay at a given number until Congress changes it. But you still pay higher taxes when gas goes up for sales tax. Does that help your road? No. They're looking at other ways. They want to have another carbon tax nationally. California has a carbon tax that was snuck in on fuel a few years ago just by executive action. It was probably authorized by that terrible AB 32 bill. So you're going to see a lot higher prices. You're not going to see a whole lot of infrastructure done compared to all this carbon-reducing infrastructure and electric cars and electric charging stations and all that stuff. This for an electric grid is being torn down. They're trying to get rid of dams. They're trying to get rid of...